This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 416, recorded Tuesday, October 30th, 2018, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Another episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Absolutely.
And it is currently Tuesday.
Tuesday it is.
Yes. We've been recording on Wednesday for a while, but today we're recording on Tuesday because I'm leaving town tomorrow.
Bye.
I'll be back.
Okay. Good.
So we have a short episode to keep all of you guys enthusiastic until next week.
Thank you. For keeping people enthusiastic.
Yep. So, did you do anything on the home automation front?
No.
Well, I did.
You did? What did you do?
I ordered some Zigbee stuff because Zigbee's been working better for me than Z-Wave lately. I'm going to make an effort to figure out if I can get my Z-Wave stuff to work more reliably.
What kind of Zigbee stuff did you order?
I ordered some door sensors from... basically, they're going to take a few weeks to get here because I'm ordering them from Xiaomi.
From who? I don't know him.
They're a Chinese company. Xiaomi.
Oh.
The one with an X.
And you expect to get a good product?
They get good reviews. And they're inexpensive, so it's worth a try. Meanwhile, I'm continuing my search for a more reliable button system, and it seems that all of the battery-operated button switches are Z-Wave. It's hard to find anything that's anything else. So I ordered a Z-Wave button to experiment with.
I wonder if Zigbee is better on the battery than Z-Wave. Or no, I mean, if the other way around. I wonder if Z-Wave is lighter on the battery.
Well, my problem is that my Z-Wave devices keep losing signal, but I just plugged in something that's been unplugged for a while and it instantly got recognized. Meanwhile, I had other items that just kept dying on me. I suppose it
sounds like fun.
Oh yeah, unpairing and pairing things. I actually have to repair my thermostat, which is Z-Wave.
Ooh,
I got a good deal. They were clearing a bunch of them out for $40 a pop, so I bought a few.
Good,
but I'm having trouble getting it to pair reliably in software. I'll figure it out. So I have my project. Well, I always have my projects. And the Zigbee fan controller in my bedroom has failed for the last time, so I'm going to rip it out now that I have those Wi-Fi ones, and I'll do that when I get back.
Cool.
Well, I continue to iterate and move forward. So we all have our projects. But in the meantime... I'm, as I mentioned, going away tomorrow, so I will be out of town and not doing anything home automation related. Although I did have one little project that I was experimenting with.
Which was?
Well, I was looking at Google Takeout. Are you familiar with it?
Is it what? Google Takeout?
That's where you can get your data out of Google.
Oh, okay, so it's not like a food ordering place.
No, but that would be interesting. It's being replaced by the data transfer project, which is something a little different. But you can basically pick a Google service and take things out of it. For example, in Chrome, if you want to export your Chrome data, it will send it out as a file. It'll send out your calendar data, and it tells you what format that it's going to export it in. So you could do your contacts in vCard or comma-separated values. You can export your Google Fit data if you've been doing it and it doesn't say what the format is. But a lot of them are, for example, JSON format or HTML or what have you. occasionally they let you choose. So I was looking at location data.
Yes.
You're familiar with it.
Yes.
So that's, Google
location, where you were.
Yeah. So Google.
Or where your phone was.
Yeah. So Google location history is very interesting because I've had it on for about 6 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So I downloaded a JSON file of all the places that I've been in that period.
Yes.
And I was looking at it and I said, if I can find something to do with this, it would be very interesting. I'd actually like to import it somewhere where I could look at it locally.
Okay. Did you find anything?
I'm going to have to build it, I guess. But I was looking at the file itself, and it's right here. It has a timestamp, a latitude, and a longitude, and it says latitude, longitude, E7. And I'm not sure what E7 is.
It's the... Okay, so it basically means move the decimal over 7 spots.
That's what I was thinking it meant.
Yes. It turns it into a whole number so that you don't lose any precision. And that's basically it. Oddly, a lot of services use E7. Do you know that Google Maps, there's a My Maps section? And you can import CSV files and tell it, you know, which parts of the CSV are basically what, and it'll map it for you.
Well, the thing is that I was looking at programs that allow you to, you know, generate your path on a map.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking that I might do something with this. But I'm looking, and, you know, sometimes it's interesting. For example, at one timestamp, it says that it goes to activity, and it says that the confidence in my activity is that I was standing still, and it thinks it's possible I might have been on foot, and it tells whether my confidence, was I in a rail vehicle, a two-wheeler vehicle, or a four-wheeler vehicle. So it actually tries to guess what activity I might have been doing.
Was it accurate?
I don't know. I really want to cross-match this a little. But I'd like to try to get this data into something. And do something with it. But I think it's a good way to sort of supplement. One of the things I always wanted to do was to be able to geotag my photographs.
Mm-hmm.
Since I know where I was, and I know I have a timestamp on the picture. So one of the things I did for my upcoming trip is that I basically made sure that since I have a physical camera in addition to my phone, which would always be geotagged.
Yes.
I wanted to be able to basically tag pictures by knowing where my phone was at the exact time the picture was taken, which means there has to be an accurate timestamp on all pictures taken, which is what I think I got, right? And there are programs that can do this, so I could just take the data and match it up.
I don't know. I've never heard of such a thing.
Well, there are programs that'll do this.
Are there?
Well, if you do a Google search for geotag your photos.
Oh.
There are a bunch here.
Cool.
So I have a file. Well, that's the thing. I have a file that tells me where I was. And I have a bunch of pictures with a timestamp.
Cool.
So all I have to do is, and I've never done it, but I always wanted to, is have a program that will basically sync the two, and there are a few of them. And formats are convertible.
Neato.
So a lot to think about. But since I'm doing that for a variety of reasons, this relates to my home automation, because remember, I track my location for that in order to know whether or not I'm in the zone or not.
Right.
So I think there's some way that I can unify all these things I want to do with where I am into something interesting. And as soon as I figure out what that is, I'll tell you. Well, you know how it is. You have this, okay, I have this interesting data. I think I could do something with it, but I haven't decided what yet.
Right.
And one of the things I've always wanted to do is show what I did on my on a trip more accurately. Because Google does its sort of presentation where it gives you this little trip report of where you went and all and cross-references all the pictures.
It does?
Yeah. If you go in, if you uploaded your photos to basically to Google Photo and then you go into location history, it'll actually show you your pictures overlaid with your history.
Oh. Interesting.
So I'd like that feature with a little more on my side. Every so often I say that's an interesting feature. I'd like to reproduce it somewhere. Even if it's like an open source piece of software that I install.
Do you peruse Reddit on occasion?
On occasion, yeah.
Are you familiar with the subreddit called Self-Hosted?
No, is it a good one?
Yeah, they talk about the types of services that you normally have hosted outside, you know, where other people have your data, and how to, you know, host those services yourself, and what services are good, and people talking about their experiences with different services and such. You know, email, DNS, financial software, web hosting, pretty much anything. And home automation is one of the things that they talk about on occasion, because so much of home automation requires that your data leave the house. And that's not something that they're, you know, big fans of. It's just not in their philosophy.
Submitted 7 hours ago. Self-hosted location sharing. Looking for a good self-hosted location sharing system.
See? Cool. Anyway, I thought I'd bring that up because I find it interesting because I expect once I get to my new house that there will be many computers that are hosting many things.
Well, I will definitely look at this because I'm always looking to move away from services to self-hosting because I like self-hosting. Not for everything, but for a lot of things.
So, what I have found with self-hosting is that the internet is never as reliable as you think it is.
In your own house?
Yes.
Probably not. But I'm not saying that I would only self-host certain things. There are certain things that I would have backups of. But for home automation, like you, I sort of want something which has more control on my side rather than me relying on something outside of my house. Because I've seen the latency of me sending a request outside of my house in order to turn on the light 5 feet from me.
I know. That's just not cool.
That's why I mentioned Hubitat to you, that actually emphasizes local control.
Cool.
So you give me something to read later.
I hope you enjoy it.
Maybe some interesting ideas. So in Android news, there are new Android distribution numbers. Apparently Oreo is still on the rise, but there is no sight of Pi.
No Pi.
Well, I don't even have Pi.
I don't. Well, pish posh, you peasants. Why are thou not with the Pi?
You'll have to ask the people at Motorola.
I don't want to do that.
Well, I'm sure Pi will show up eventually. Okay. But it is telling that they haven't actually penetrated. I think by this time, you know, 3 months after Oreo, there was a lot of penetration.
I find it interesting that even that... Okay, so all of the Pixels are on Pi by now, right?
I believe so, yeah.
There's not enough Pixels out there to budge, to even dent this graph.
That doesn't surprise me. Pixels are still a niche thing.
But they're awesome.
I don't have one, but I'll take your word for it.
I like I really like the fact that now we have our table back where it shows the data, the numbers. I like that. Thank you. Thank you, Google people.
Apparently, if you are getting an Android phone in Europe and they've decided not to install the Google Assistant as part of their continual decoupling under pressure from EU regulators, they're going to include a basic voice assistant that is not the Google Assistant.
But it's still voice recognition, and where does the...
They're going to do what they can locally.
Okay, cool. I think it would be telling. You know, how much
Processors are benefit better.
Does going off device actually help? I sometimes wish that my phone, that the voice services would work even if there was no internet.
Well, maybe it will. This may motivate them.
I think that would be cool.
So Google has discontinued Android Nearby notifications due to apparently spam and abuse.
And yet they're still... So developers that use this will have other APIs that they can use, but...
Not this one.
Not this one.
Let's see. Google Docs passed 500 million installs.
And the poor little Google Sheets. Only 100,000 installs.
I think it is good. Google Docs in general are a good thing. I use them regularly. I haven't opened up my copy of LibreOffice in a while. But I don't do much word processing anymore. It's not outside of work where they don't let me use what I want. IBM is going to acquire Red Hat, which I thought was somewhat telling.
But not just any part of Red Hat or any part of IBM. They're going to their cloud team.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
But Red Hat is the driver behind my operating system, Fedora.
And Red Hat is also behind CentOS, right? One of the, if not the most popular server OS?
Well, not exactly. They did Red Hat Linux, and CentOS was sort of an open version of Red Hat Linux, which later merged back into Red Hat itself. It was always billed as a version of Red Hat without...
Without Red Hat.
Well, without the support contract, which is where the money is.
Right, so it's Red Hat without Red Hat.
And as I said, Fedora is part of that, which is my operating system. And they just released, what was it? I think it was today. They released Fedora 29, and it's been 15 years since the first version of Fedora, Fedora 1.
And was there a note in the changelog that said that'll be the last one?
Nope. They said they're continuing.
Cool.
But there are some interesting things. I was looking at it. I usually wait a couple of days to install any new distribution.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it always takes a while for the packagers to get everything.
Right.
So they're including modularity, which allows them to shift different versions of packages in the same Fedora base.
Oh, no.
Well, the idea is you no longer need to make your whole OS upgrade decisions based on individual package versions.
Oh, no.
That's going to get confusing.
Yeah. You know what we call it in Windows land?
What?
DLL hell.
I'm familiar with it.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, by default, that's always going to go to the latest version, but this is basically, if you need to hold back on updating a package, you can hold back and keep an older version of that package without stopping you from upgrading all the other packages. That's a little different than the DLL hell situation.
Well, good luck.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to trying it at some point. But never on the first day.
Sure.
Okay. Google Voice is testing support for audio and video MMS attachments, which they've never had support for.
Yay!
The Library of Congress has expanded their list of DRM that can be legally broken.
Which specifically means that now Amazon Echo and the Google Home are now hackable legally.
Under certain circumstances, yes.
They're hackable.
Under certain circumstances.
They're hackable. So it's cool. I mean, it's not like you can go in all willy-nilly, but for exploration and reverse engineering purposes, absolutely.
Let's see what else. Microsoft completed the GitHub acquisition.
And lo and behold, the world did not explode.
Yeah, I would have survived. I always survive. I've left products before.
One of the things that I learned on the self-host thing was I now self-host my own Git repositories.
They're always self-hosted until you push them.
Well, my I'm running GitLab.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just saying that with any Git repository, you are self-hosting it unless you push it to somewhere upstream.
They're not hosted locally. They exist locally, but they're not hosted locally.
How do you exist locally without hosting it?
I don't think hosting. To me, hosting means a service accessed over internet. Or not internet, but over, network protocols.
Okay.
That would be like saying I self-host my Windows.
That is an interesting thought.
That's just my take on the world. Anyway.
So Google announced that they're making it easier to control your data and their products by once again putting forth a tool to try to help you with this.
Cool.
So they basically will show you what data is being generated. So basically there's actually a feed that shows you what you've been actually doing that Google knows about.
And don't look at it unless you want to be really scared.
I realize that people know more about me than I'd want them to.
It's the thing is when they start to know more about you than you know about yourself.
I'll take that.
And in other news,
I'm listening.
If you're really, really quick, you can get a Kali Linux cookbook on Pact for free for the next 21 hours and 37 minutes.
What sort of cookbook? Any good food in it?
No, it's, Target Wireless Networks and databases and device. Kali is the hacker's Linux, right? And I don't mean that in the guy that writes programs hacker. I mean it in the guy who hacks into other devices and penetrates networks and stuff like that type.
Okay. Not my thing.
Okay.
So I will be looking forward to reading the Reddit self-hosted thing. That was a very good recommendation. I'll see if I find anything interesting there.
Cool stuff. There's even a... there's even a repo that has self-hosted projects categorized by different, categories. Go figure, categorized by categories.
What else do you categorize by?
I don't know. Color? I don't know. Just, it's one of those allow myself to introduce myself things. Anyway. Check out the wiki on that, and it'll point you in lots of
they have cool a wiki places. Too?
Yeah.
I'll have a look.
A lot of subreddits have wikis now.
No, it doesn't surprise me. I'm not big on Reddit. Maybe I should be.
It's a time suck.
Aren't a lot of things? I didn't catch that. I'm not going to ask what word triggered that. So that brings us to the end of our program for this week. I'm a little tired, so I'm going to go to bed, and I'm not going to bother posting this till tomorrow.
All right. Well, which means that if you get this immediately, you'll have about 12 hours to get over there and get that cookbook. So hurry up.
I'm sorry. And by the time I return, my button should be here, so I'll tell you how I go in configuring it. And if it's good, I'm going to order more.
How much was the button?
Well, there are a lot of different choices. This one was like $30, but they have one that goes up to $50. If you actually just go on to Amazon and look for Z-Wave button or Z-Wave controller, you get things like the SmartThings button for $14.99, which is basically one Zigbee button. But this is basically what you would put on a side table, and I wanted something that I could put on a wall. You have the AOTech Wallmote Quad, which is basically, it looks like it's a square with four different panels you can touch. But I'm trying the Hank Z-Wave 4-button scene controller, which basically, it's a square-like object with three buttons and then a fourth button in the middle. And I want to see, can I pair this and use it to trigger things? and it's rechargeable. It uses USB. It looks like it's a decent thing to try. But as I said, it's hard to find something that, you know, what I'd really like is something that looks like a light switch, but just mounts on the wall with a battery. So it looks like I've added an extra light switch, but I haven't found anything like that. Jerry, did I lose you?
No, you didn't lose me. Uh-huh. I was just wondering, have you considered a light switch?
Yes, but it's not controlling the light. It would have to it's not controlling the load. Remember, I'm trying to trigger multiple lights, so I would want basically multiple buttons in the same place to control individual lights and individual things in the room. So a remote is actually better, even though you're asking, why don't I just wire up a light switch that has multiple buttons in it, like a wired scene controller?
No, I was thinking more along the lines of, I don't know what I was thinking.
Well, I looked. I just couldn't find anything. Also, the logical place for the switch, unfortunately, happens to be the place where I don't have a neutral wire.
Ah.
But you have things like the home seer, which... Were you talking to me about the home seer?
Yes. So, I have talked to you about the home seer.
Yeah. No, it's a very nice switch, but it goes to... It's still controlling one object. And... I have control for a lot of things.
Right, but the home seer switches are like totally, they report back to a service that you run locally, and all sorts of things can be triggered by it. I mean, to the point where, like, if you double tap it, it can trigger a different action than if you single tap it, all the way up to like four or five taps.
I figured I'd start with this and I'll see what happens. If scene controllers work for me, then I may buy more of different types.
Sure.
But I figured this seemed relatively inexpensive. And if I decide not to put it to mount it on the wall, it's small enough that I could leave it on a desk or somewhere else.
Cool.
There's always multiple ways to solve a problem.
That's a true statement.
And I'll keep working at it until I'm happy.
Well, good luck, sir.
So until next time?
Until next time. Bye, folks.